Oh, what fun, new songs, right? Or new hymns, more appropriate. Let's see if I can get this where I can read it. Okay, so local retreats are part of the minister's activities during the year. They're held all over the country for groups of ministers in what is called chapters. Our chapter is called the New York Metro Chapter. So this past February, I attended the winter retreat for ministers that are in the New York area. So we attempt to keep costs down, and the retreat center that we used has a camp-like dining halls, communal showers, and unadorned walls in the rooms. No frills. We're not wasting your money, okay? We are there to develop collegiality and to develop our ministries. And also to keep costs down, the ministers volunteer for several of the different functions. I volunteered to do worship one time. So our worship's not a full-blown one-hour program. It's usually only about 30 minutes. Yes, we light a chalice, we sing a hymn or two, we have a reading or two, and a prayer or a meditation. All very UU style, right? You would think so, right? I chose to spend the time doing something a little differently and spend the time reaching down into our creativity. So I did some research on haikus. Now these, if you don't know, are three-line, they could be more, but three-line Japanese poems. And I created this modified method to teach these ministers a haiku that they could create. And they created three different ones during that worship service. And they looked at different items that were on the altar as inspiration. Some of these ministers were very reluctant. Right? It's not surprising. We all have a resistance to new things. And we have somehow lost that imagination of a child like Christina Katerina. How many different ways can you use a box? So in that worship, with our spirits or our hearts open, most of us reached down and connected to that hidden imagination. It really doesn't ever go away, no matter how young or old you are. It just sometimes covered up with our modern day life, our business, our logic, our mechanical states. William Blake thought that this creative power should be kept alive in all people for all of their lives. Why? Because it is life itself. It is the spirit. In fact, it is the only important thing about us. It is the only important thing about us. The rest of us is just legs and stomach and materialistic cravings and fears and biological mechanisms. So what did these ministers create in that half hour? I've just chosen a few to share with you. Now, the rhythm was very easy. Title of an object, the materialistic definition words of the object, 3 to 5, 2 to 3, and then the metaphor you can associate with that object. Mud cloth. Colorful, warm, dramatic, connecting to culture. These were done in less than 5 minutes. There was a stone-shaped, heart-shaped stone on the altar. Heart of stone, closed, dense, in stasis. Let love's gentle yes crack you softly. You could do these too. It's really easy. So the flaming chalice, glittering brightly from our past, brings us together. So I give you these examples of the creative force at work to illustrate that not all art comes from a place of suffering. Some can come from a place of observing, just looking and contemplating the object that's right in front of you. So the history of the myth of the suffering artist is a long-held belief. Aristotle noted an excess of black bile or melancholy in creative men. Much later, as the Reformation thinned support for artists, they sold themselves on not only their talent, but also their personality. By the 19th century, this was pathological. Every artist was assumed to be in some way a disturbed individual, which did little to dissuade artists from recklessly playing the part. For it is a myth. Mental illness is not required to create great art or any art. Not all of the Impressionist painters were mentally ill. They were observers of life itself. Monet and his haystacks and his olive trees. Renoir with his expressions of people and scenes around Paris. They observed how light played from the trees into the dresses of women sitting under trees, as done by Manet. The reverse is also not true. Those with mental illness do not make exceptional artists. If the latter was true, then there would be a pipeline to financial freedom instead of homelessness. Full intellectual ability is also not needed. I have a collection of poems from adults that have developmental intellectual disabilities. I'll share them with you sometime. The danger of this myth of suffering is required for artists to be a good artist is explained from Patrick Nathan in his article titled "The Cruel Myth of the Suffering Artist." The year 2018 was a hard time for me to be alive. On top of everything, in June we saw two celebrity suicides, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Two successful individuals whose deaths shook many people, including me. I experienced a dalliance with depression as the danger it was. And the cruel myth of suffering our culture does impose on our artists, suffering is useful, it says, even profitable. This will be great for your writing, people have presumed to tell me about this or that pain in my life. Don't seek help, this myth whispers, as we strive toward an image of greatness that's crippling lonely. Artists refuse treatment while believing that their art requires them to suffer. It is a dangerous game to play. That's a dangerous belief that we continue to support. Nathan goes on to explain how capitalism also plays into the myth and benefits from it. Bet you hadn't thought about that. The fact requires more of an explanation than what I want to go through right now. It's a big explanation. But I thought it worth bringing up. Capitalism benefiting from mental illness. Yeah, and that requires a lot more to explain, doesn't it? So what I am interested in exploring is the creativity in each and every one of us. The creative effort, the use of the imagination should come first, at least for part of every day of your life. First, part of your day, every day. It is a wonderful blessing if you use it. You will become happier, more enlightened, alive, impassioned, lighthearted, and generous to everybody else. Even your health will improve. Colds will disappear and all of other ailments of discouragement and boredom. That's by Brenda Upland. So I attended an exhibition in San Francisco in the late 70s. Its title was Creativity. And I was amazed by the groupings of creativity and the way the exhibition was curated. I love the poster of that exhibition. It was a hand becoming a tree. It was so very colorful. And the main point that I got from that exhibition is that creativity is a unique characteristic of our species. The animal does not create. Not too long ago, I went to the National Zoo with the family, and it was clear to me that those elephants' painting was not a creative act. It is really cute to see the elephants with a big paintbrush and putting it on. You know, we make all kinds of interpretations of their paintings, and it is those interpretations that come from our creative source, not from those elephants. We put the meaning on them. We are meaning-making machines. So the key question isn't what fosters creativity, but it is why it isn't everyone creative. Where was that human potential lost? How was it crippled? I think, therefore, a good question might not be why people create, but why do people not create or not innovate? We have got to abandon this sense of amazement in the face of creativity, as if it were a miracle if anybody created anything, like a ship from a box. So I've been pondering the same question as stated by Maslow, the famed behavioral specialist. Something was lost, and how do we find it again? Well, Edwin Land has one idea. Creativity is the sudden cessation of stupidity. Oh, if we could only get our nation's leader to engage in creative acts every day and cease the stupidity. How would the world be then? Or we could take Vincent van Gogh's advice. If you hear a voice within you say, you cannot paint, then go out and paint until that voice is silenced. The Nike Just Do It attitude was alive long before they copyrighted it. And if you want to sing, then do it. If you want to preach, then do it. If you want the world to be different, then do it. If you want to be creative, do it. To be creative gets you in touch with your love of life. When you are creative, you will enhance life's beauty. Bring a little more music, a little more poetry, a little more dance. Now, just do it.